This is the Arab Street Podcast, and I'm Ray Hanania. For more information on my writings, visit thedailyhookah.com or hanania.com. And for podcasts, visit thearabstreet.org. I hope you enjoy the program.
Every Friday morning on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan with Layla Al-Husseini. Our call-in number 248-557-3300. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues with your host, Layla Al-Husseini.
And good morning, everyone. It's Friday, January 11th, 2019. 2019, yeah, it's the new year. I hope everybody had a great new year. I'm Ray Hanania, and you're listening to the Arab Street Radio and podcast broadcast from Chicago through 690 AM WNZK AM Radio in Detroit, Michigan. We're taking your calls at 248-557-3300. Joining me this morning online, Ali Younis. He's a writer with Al Jazeera English. And we're going to be talking about a range of issues, including one that kind of has dominated the media coverage of the Middle East this week, about a young Saudi girl, Rahaf Al-Kunan, who is seeking asylum in Australia. I think she's in Thailand. And I think the real question is, you know, everybody's focusing about whether the Saudis are brutal to women, whether the Arabs are brutal to women. But the real question is the Western media brutal to Arabs? So I don't know. What do you think? Explain this from your perspective, Ali, this story with Rahaf.
You know, well, first of all, let's just establish that Arab women in general, they're not, you know, as bad as the Western media try to portray them to be, you know, with a few exceptions,
of course. You mean the way they're treated?
The way they are perceived to be treated by the Western media. Now, you know, for example, in Syria, Jordan, in North Africa, Iraq, women are in parliament. Women are ministers, government ministers. They are officials. They enjoy a lot of liberties and freedoms comparable to men.
Yeah.
Now, with a few exceptions in Saudi Arabia, you know, in the past few decades, women were not allowed. In fact, I don't know if they were ever allowed to drive. There's a guardianship system there. A woman cannot travel alone. She has to travel with a male guardian. That is, could be a brother or a husband or a father. And women, you know, could not vote, and men could not vote either. So,
well, 100 years ago, women couldn't vote in the United States.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I love the way the United States always says, look what our freedoms we have compared to yours. Except that they only just recently, you know, opened up some of these freedoms for people. And then they pretend like they never had oppression of women. You know what I mean?
You know,
that's the thing that bothers me the most. And yes, it's great that women have the right to vote in America, finally, after 100 years. But they are so judgmental about other countries.
And in the United States, a woman has not been elected a president yet.
Whereas and probably never will.
A Muslim country.
As long as Hillary's running, she probably never will get elected. Sorry. Is Hillary a woman?
Yeah, but what
that's
I'm saying
the question
is,
I have.
Like in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Bangladesh, a lot of Muslim countries, these Muslim countries, very populated Muslim countries, women have been elected as prime ministers and as president
before
of 150 to 200 million people, Muslim people.
Right.
Let me ask
you this question. Tell us about Rahaf first. Give us the scenario, what's happening with her.
Let's set it up for the listeners. An 18-year-old. She fled her home. She wanted to go seek asylum in Australia via Thailand. Okay, in Thailand, they stopped her.
Yeah, she left through Kuwait. She went from Saudi Arabia to Kuwait, then Kuwait to Thailand, right? They were going to send her back to Kuwait, right?
Yes, they were going to send her back because, you know, some issues, you know, Thailand, it's not like you, Thailand, I'm an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old, I could just bypass you and travel to Australia without a visa, without any documentation that shows that why am I traveling? Should I be? And if I was traveling back to my country? Now, just because you want to seek asylum, anybody, this does not mean a country in the world would allow you through.
Right.
You know, you have to go through a process to seek asylum. Now, this girl happened to be from Saudi Arabia, and a lot of people against Saudi Arabia. You know, it's a lot of negative.
Yeah, I mean, they take coverage. A beating in the, especially in the Western media. Yeah, and there are issues that we could get into, but let's step back and look at the bigger picture, as you say.
Yes.
You know, the way the West looks at all the Arabs, because in truth, they don't really distinguish between the Arabs.
So Thailand, the authorities stopped at the airport, and she tweeted, you know, she made the issue that my family is abusing me. I'm afraid I'll be tortured.
Right.
But I was tortured at home.
Right.
There'll be violence. I could be killed at home if I go back to my country.
Right.
Now, that struck a nerve with a lot of the liberal media all over the world who may be disingenuous about it. They just want to beat Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And I'm not defending Saudi Arabia. I'm analyzing the case.
Right. I get it.
And took up her
case. You're with Al Jazeera. You're not going to defend Saudi Arabia, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a journalist.
I understand. I'm making a joke. I write for the Arab News in Saudi Arabia, I am not going to defend Qatar. We can get both of that out of the way, right?
Yes.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. You know, I'm a journalist first and foremost.
Yes, I am too. I am too.
Yeah. So what got me here is the United Nations.
Yes.
You know, with all this media hype and all this pressure,
right?
United Nations immediately stepped in.
Oh yeah.
And
right.
Worked things out.
And why do you think that is?
Why
do you think the United Nations stepped in so quickly to do something? Because they care about her, or they hate us? And you know what, actually,
For the most part, the Western media created that perception that we want to defend this woman, and women are abused in the Middle East, and look at these Muslims, look at these Arabs, how they treat their women, and we should stand up to women, you know? And that's not true.
Right.
You know, women in Saudi Arabia, although they're not allowed to drive, but they're not in chains or in shackles, you know. I'm from the culture.
It's fair. I think it's fair to say that every Arab country they're not the same as the United States, number one.
Yeah.
There isn't one Arab country that's exactly what, even Israel is not the same as the United States.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't single out the Arab side and blame us and say everything's wrong. But you're right. The media really kind of stoked the fire on this one, not because they care about Rahaf, but because it's an opportunity for them to beat us up, right? As Arabs, they hate us. The American media, they don't love us, they hate us. And neither do most of the American officials. They don't love us, they hate Arabs.
And an opportunity for this media, and not all Western media, but for this type of media to make us look bad.
Right.
And to make themselves look better, like they are morally superior to us. You know?
And wasn't there one aspect that really touched the nerve? I mean, this is something that's often said, and it's kind of tough to deal with. You're Muslim, I'm Christian, and, you know, there's all this stuff about how, you know, Christian Arabs treat, you know, Muslims badly. Like in some of the Arab countries like Lebanon, you know, the Christian, you know, population there sometimes pretty brutal to the Muslim community. And, you know, a lot of Christians feel that, you know, they're not as free as they want to be. But it's not a huge oppression. But in this aspect, there was this context where she allegedly said, I wanted to convert from Islam to Christianity, and my father and my mother and family wanted to kill me because it's not allowed.
Now, I don't think she said that.
In one of her tweets, I think. But go ahead.
What she said, because I left religion, you know.
So she may be an atheist.
Yes. So I tweeted a tweet that so far got 30,000 impressions.
Wow.
And 5,000 engagement. I am shocked.
Right.
You know.
Because everybody's following this.
A lot of negative. Most of it is negative.
Right.
Now the Saudis are supporting me and saying, you know, because what I said in my tweet,
Ray,
I said, you know, just because a teenager ran away from home and said, I was abused by my family, why the UN has to step in and created an emergency and treat her as a refugee, whereas that Syrians, by the millions, Iraqis, by the millions, Palestinians, by the millions, are being abused as we speak. And they are either in jail or stranded in airports or refugee camps in Lebanon, freezing, you know, Syrians in Jordan, that refugee camps with Syrians in Turkey. They live in tents. They live their homes. Where is the Western media that really pushes the United Nations to find a proper solution for these miserable people? You can't find this. You know, this selective morality that is using a girl, using this case, to beat up on the Arab and Muslim population, not the regimes, okay?
Right.
You know, we all have disagreements with the Arab regimes. I don't think the Arab regimes are the best governments in the world. In fact, they are dictators. And who support these dictators? Who give them a slack?
Right.
Is the West. They give them weapons.
The United States.
They give them money.
Yeah. They've been doing it for years.
Billions of dollars.
Yes. They buy their support and they get what they want and then they close their eyes to abuse. And when you don't work with them, then they open their eyes to abuse. I get it. Let me just remind everybody they're listening to the Arab Street Radio here on WNZK AM 690. I'm the host, Ray Hanania, and on the line with me is a good friend of mine and journalist, reporter at Al Jazeera, Ali Younis, and we're talking about the case of Rahaf Al-Qunun, not just the allegations that she's fleeing persecution, but mainly how the news media, I think, and Ali agrees, exploits this to make Arabs look bad. You can call us at 248-557-3300 if you want to join the conversation. And tell us what you think. Now, Ali, apparently she is been given sanctuary in Australia. Now, let's just step back because this is so confused, the issue with so many different aspects. It's easy for the media to cast it as strictly an abuse, a typical abuse by the Arab world against a woman. And there is abuse in the Arab world against women. You know, there is this honor killings. There's some Arab countries that allow honor killings, or they have laws that minimize, you know, the punishment for men if they kill a woman because the woman dishonored their family. Those things do exist, but it's not like 100% per, you know, across the board. It's not like everybody does that. It does exist, and women do have some rights less than men in the Arab world, but that's the way it is all over the place. Why is it that they just focus on the Arab world when it comes to women? Why is it that we're, you know, the bad guys when it comes to women, and yet it's okay for America to treat women like second-class citizens? It's okay for Israel to treat women, the ultra-religious, you know, women. They're no different than, right, the Orthodox Jewish women are no different in terms of their treatment than some Orthodox Muslim women are treated. What's the difference?
Exactly. And you know something, besides that great point that you've mentioned, women in the Arab world, you know, there is some abuse, there are unfairness toward them, but it's not across the board like you said. There are issues in Saudi Arabia, in the Gulf. But right. I want to make a point that is, what about the culture? Why can't these people in the world, you know, understand that Arab culture is not a Western culture. Arabs are not Americans. They're not British. They're not Europeans.
Right.
There are some, you know, certain family bonds, certain family values. You know, it has to be respected. You know, why some, if I was a British person and I want the Arab people to behave as if they are Norwegians or British or Americans, white Americans, or white Norwegians, and they're not.
Right.
You know, so I think just as we should respect other cultures, American culture, Christians, Jews, and other cultures around the world, I think the other cultures also have to consider respecting the Arab cultures, whether it's an emphasis on family values, emphasis on respect between men and women. And, you know, believe me, look, with this girl, what she done, you know, nobody talks about her parents. I think her parents are really in a terrible situation. I don't know if he threatened her to death or not, or to kill her. I can't vouch for that.
I mean, it's a possibility but that now, they're being abused because nobody cares about the Arabs, you know, in the mainstream media. Nobody's going to present them fairly. They're going to present them as the bad guys because this story fits a pattern that the American news media, especially, and the Western media, that they love. Arabs are bad. The victim is a woman. And the Arabs are the evil people. We're going to take a break, okay, Allie? And then we're going to continue this conversation. Sure. We'll do this every 15 minutes. We got to, you know, thank our sponsors that keep Radio Bellady and U.S. Arab Radio on the air Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 o'clock in Detroit. I'm in Chicago. My guest, Allie Younis, is in the Middle East. We're connected by Skype, which is a technological nightmare, by the way. I just want to say that. To Mike in the studio, for some reason, I can't get your text, but you text me and it'll show up some reason. But we're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to take a break first. And when we come back, we'll talk more and take calls, if you want to call at 248-557-3300, on this issue of Rahaf Al-Qunun, the young Saudi girl. She's a teenager who reportedly is fled Saudi Arabia, and her parents are out there trying to get her back, and she wants to go to Australia. And the media has turned this into how terribly the Arab world treats women. I'm Ray Hanania. We are going to be right back right after these messages.
If halal is important to your family, you can trust that Miramar will offer not only the highest quality halal products, but the best tasting and healthiest foods that can be placed on your family table with confidence. Miramar is the first and oldest halal certified food brand in America, serving the Arab and Muslim community, and offers a wide range of halal food products. Check out Miramar's halal food selection today by visiting Miramar's executive distributor, Ziad Brothers Importing, at www.ziad.com.
LEAF is a nonprofit charity that's provided humanitarian aid and development to people and communities for over 25 years, regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background. When disaster occurs here or around the world, LEAF for Relief and Development rushes in to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. Please help improve these efforts. Make your tax-deductible donation to LEAF now at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493.
It's all in one grocery store, and that store is Zamzam Fresh Foods Market. Zamzam Fresh Foods Market offers fresh vegetables, halal meats, a great fresh bakery, as well as nuts and spices, and much more. They also offer special deals every Wednesday, so don't forget to ask for your favorite foods, as shish kebabs are ready to go. So please stop by Zamzam Fresh Foods Market at 24065 Orchard Lake Road in Farmington Hills. Their phone number is 248-476-0300. Again, that phone number is 248-476-0300. They are open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Zamzam Fresh Foods Market is your one-place stop for all your grocery shopping needs and your favorite foods.
When you're looking for the best in optical care, Dr. Imad Nakash is your doctor to see. With years of experience and thousands of successful procedures performed, you can trust your eyes to Dr. Imad Nakash. See Dr. Imad Nakash and his professional staff for your eye care needs. There's two locations to serve you. In Hazel Park, call 248-336-3937. 248-336-3937. In Rochester Hills, call 248-299-3937. That's 248-299-3937.
And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio. I'm Ray Hanania, this is Friday, January 11, 2019, and we are on 690 AM WNZK Radio in Detroit, Michigan. Online with me is my colleague and journalist at Al Jazeera, Allie Younis. Allie, you've had a lot of great stories. This has to be one of the most interesting, though, specifically because of the anger that the West stokes up about Arabs, don't you think? I mean, what if this had been the story of a Palestinian girl, for example, who had been helping, you know, a nurse helping, you know, Palestinians along the Gaza border, who was shot in the head by the Israelis? Do you think the media would go berserk and say, "How could the Israelis shoot this woman? It's abuse of women. You know, it's abuse of civilians." There seems like a little hypocrisy here, isn't there?
Yeah, not a word. Only just a news coverage. You know, outrage.
And it was almost like they blamed the Palestinian nurse, who was like in her early 20s, I think. She might have been a teenager, 19 or 20 or so. They blamed her.
And she was engaged.
Yeah, and she was engaged. She had a whole life that the media just totally ignored because, you know, this is about politics. They don't want to beat up on Israel. They want to beat up on Saudi Arabia. They want to, and you know what, as a pro-Qatari writer, and I'm a pro-Saudi writer, I'm sure that there's some of us that are enjoying, you know, this. I'm not. And when they do it to Qatar, I'm sure there's some that enjoy that, but not everybody does. But the point is that, you know, as Arabs, they're not attacking really Saudi Arabia because they're Saudi Arabia. They're attacking Saudi Arabia because they're Arab. And they do the same thing to every country.
That's true. You know, and, you know, the sense of outrage that I see from people across the world about this girl, about, you know, abusive women, it gives them that, you know, moral superiority and that we are evil people.
Right.
You know? And that's to me, this is disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because I know this girl, like you said, is being exploited. That said, she might have a legitimate case. I'm not discounting her case.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's possible.
She has the right to travel. She has the right to live free. Every woman in the Arab world or anywhere in the world, but speaking for the Middle East and in the Arab world, women deserve the right to travel alone, to pursue their dreams, to get education, to pursue politics. They have the right equal as men. But one thing people forget is that when we are speaking about feminism, when we are speaking about women's rights in the Middle East or in the Arab world at least, men also don't have rights. Men cannot vote properly. Men go to jail. Right. Men can't find jobs. Unemployment is so high. So it isn't just women don't have rights. Men don't have rights.
Right. Either. In Syria, for example, if you're not part of the government, you'd probably be killed. They will kill you. Listen, let's go to the phone lines at 248-557-3300 if you want to comment and tell us what you think. Be happy to put you on and hear your views. Let's go to one of our big fans, Jerry Haba. Jerry, you're online here at the Arab Street Radio. Thank you for hanging on, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. Ray Hanani. Good morning to you.
What do you make of this story about Rahaf?
Yeah, first of all, I want to wish both of you a happy new year.
Thank you.
And 2019 to be a prosperity and peace and love. And you guys get a millionaire one of these days. And to your producer, Mr. Mike Shavka, I wish you the best. So, right, you addressed your question about all these. Yes. The Western media is exaggerated too much about the Arab women in general. And that's why sometimes, I'm not trying over here to defend our president, Donald Trump, when he called the media fake media.
They are fake media. Yet,
they focus, especially liberal media, I'm talking about.
Right.
And Mr. Ali Yunus, the women, they've been abused in our backyard right here in America.
Yes.
You hear in the news every day a girl walking to the school and get raped in the alley of our cities. But about women in general, and especially in the Middle East, I do believe, like Ray said earlier, Ali, and you said earlier, no, this is not the way how our women in the Middle East, some of them, they become a high position, like a deputy, a prime minister, minister of education, minister of a lot of things. So look at, example, Bangladesh. The prime minister over there, Sheikh Hasina, for a small Muslim developing country, she is there. So, no, the Arab women, they've been having their, right. Saudi Arabia gave the permission lately to women.
It's changing, right? Remember, listen, wouldn't it be interesting if we could go back 100 years and the media would say, wow, oh, yeah, the United States gave women the right to vote, finally. You know, and the way they abuse, you know, and this isn't about Saudi Arabia, but the way they treated the idea that, oh, Saudi Arabia finally gave women the right to drive. Like, even the fact that they give women the right to drive isn't good enough, you know, for the media in this country. But they wouldn't do the same thing to the United States because the United States finally, you know, gave women the right to vote. They treat it like it's a great thing, but not in the Arab world.
The women didn't have the right to vote to do. But, the point I want to bring it over here, and Ali Younes will probably agree with me. One thing I don't like it here in America, when I see some of our men from the Arab Middle Eastern community or the Southeastern, like Bangladesh, Pakistan, when he drive a car, I see him, he put his wife in the back seat.
Yeah, there are, but, you know, Jerry, you're right. Listen, you're right, Jerry. There are some instances of this attitude, and it's not an Arab attitude, right? It's a male attitude. There are men in this world who look at women as second-class citizens. And they exist in the Arab world, right? We see it in the Arab world. Men walking around with jeans and sandals and T-shirts, and there are women walking around in burkas with their face covered right here in Chicago. I see it all the time, and I want to grab the guy and say, what kind of slob are you to treat this woman like this?
Yeah, Mr. Ray, 120 degrees temperature.
Yes, I get it.
Right. Women, they are covering their face, and that's
right.
That.
Let me ask you, Jerry. Let me ask you one question because we're going on too long here. One quick question.
Good question.
Well, is this a real issue or is it a fake issue?
Tell about a congresswoman, which I'm proud to have, and a Palestinian Middle Eastern.
We're going to talk about her in a minute too, but go ahead, say it real fast.
Woman. When she calls the president bad names.
No, she can't do that. That's bad. That's low class, I think.
Just think she should build a bridges between America and this, the Middle East instead of damaging this picture. So I would love to see Mr. Ali Younes, his reaction about Congresswoman Ms. Rashida Tlaib.
We will.
He say about it, and thank you, and God bless you, Ray Hanania, and Mr. Ali Younes, and Mr. Mike Shepka, the
all
producer.
Right, thank you, Jerry, for calling in. Ellie,
thank you, Jerry.
I want to save Rashida for after the break, but let's talk a little bit more about this. Don't you agree that, you know, yes, there are there Arab men who treat women terribly? Are there some laws in the Arab world that we don't like? Is that an indictment of the Arab world, though? Is that enough to be an indictment? Are they any worse than other Western countries, the way they treat women?
I don't think so. If you look at the United Nations numbers, as far as the human development in the Arab world, they're very, very high. It depends on the country. But for countries like Libya, Jordan, in the Levant region, Lebanon, Syria, Palestinian areas, Jordan and North Africa, Tunisia, women are almost equal to men in terms of a lot of issues, you know, and sometimes maybe more than Western women.
But this
does not mean that there are bad policies and that there are no discrimination against women. I mean, it would be foolish to say it's a perfect world. It isn't a perfect world.
And it is fair to say that maybe women are abused more, I think, you know, in third world countries, including in the Arab world.
Yeah, but you see, the key thing, Ray, is we have to understand the third world is a third world.
Yes.
It isn't the first world.
Right.
And when we say women are not treated fairly, and also men are being abused too.
Yes.
So it's
no,
the whole
I get
society
that. You,
is
you make
not
a
free.
Good point with that, that, you know, yeah,
the
women
whole society
are,
is not. Yeah, the whole society is not free, men and
right.
women.
Yes.
So and when we say women, people think in terms of an American culture or European culture where society is developed and rights are enshrined in the law. But in the Arab world, there are no rights enshrined in the law and practice as such. So when women are treated badly, it also the whole society is treated badly too. It's not just women. Men also are treated badly. They could be imprisoned on dubious charges of terrorism for merely speaking out. Journalists being abused and imprisoned across the region. you know. But added to that, women also, you know, it's a male-dominant society in this region, you know, for many reasons. You know, I can't say women are not being abused. There are some cases, there may be some elements of that. Yes, it's true. And it's legitimate to criticize that and to speak against that. And we should, you know, as an educated men and educated societies, you know. But to say that women are abused in the Arab world and in the West, in America, like Jerry said, women are just becoming whatever they want to and they're not being abused. Yes, there are discrimination against women in the U.S. The glass ceiling, if you remember in the 80s and 90s, women could not earn salaries as much as men. And if you compare the numbers, how many CEOs or how many women in Congress, maybe yes. This year is an exception. Right. But there are statistics that tell you that the Arab world is not any different in terms of treatment of women than America, for example.
Well, I think that it is a little bit different, but the Americans do it with the hypocrisy. I do think that because of the third world, there are women that are oppressed because of men, not because of government policy. Men taking over government, yes. And we do have a problem with men around the world who look down on women and discriminate against women. They're misogynists, all kinds of problems. I totally get that. But what really bothers me, and of course, I hope, like you said, that Rahaf is treated fairly, that if in fact she is being abused, she's 18 years old. I don't know what the legal age is in Saudi Arabia. I know just because the legal age for, you know, women here is 17 or 18, they can do whatever they want. But maybe that's not in the case in Saudi Arabia. Maybe they have to be 21. You know, before they can do that. And we should respect those laws. Who decided 18 was a perfect, you know, legal age just because the United States does it? So, you know, I hope that she is allowed to, you know, pursue, you know, her life without fear. Ali, we're going to take one quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk maybe some more. Maybe let's talk about, you know, Rashida Tlaib, who is the new congresswoman. On one hand, it's phenomenal, don't you think? And then on the other hand,
yes.
Sometimes she kind of does some crazy things that are unnecessary and, you know, puts the movement to give Arabs right in a bad way. So let's talk about that right after the break. I'm Ray Hanania. On the line with me is Ali Younis. He's a writer with Al Jazeera. I write for the Arab News and Middle East Monitor in London. And our website is the ArabStreet.org, where you can go to get all this information, or Hanania.com about our guests and links to everything. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Gashat's Mediterranean Market and Shish Kebab offers a great array of your favorite Mediterranean meals. Meals range from lamb specialties, shawarma sandwiches, seafood dinners, and they offer special big trays of your favorite food, plus much more. Gashat's Mediterranean Market and Shish Kebab address is 32839 Northwestern Highway in Farmington Hills. Their phone number is 248-538-9552. That number again is 248-538-9552, and the supermarket is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Gashat's Mediterranean Market and Shish Kebab will definitely leave you satisfied. Of immigration questions, dealing with wanting to visit the United States, wanting to work in the United States, wanting to study in the United States, or bringing your family to the United States, you need to contact Lagana & Associates Law Firm. Lagana & Associates Law Firm practice areas include family and business immigration and deportation. Dealing with cases overseas in an Arab region, for free consultation, please call their WhatsApp number at 001-617-283-1018. Lagana & Associates Law Firm offers experienced guidance that will help you with your legal needs as well as navigating the legal system successfully with confidence. Again, their number is 1-617-283-1018.
انتهى الاجتماع ومحتارين هناكل فين؟
من الآخر وبدون تفكير، أورشيد فود أفضل وأحسن قرار.
عنده أكلات طيبة يا ترى؟
أورشيد فودز عنده أفضل تشكيلة من المحاشي والمشاوي والمقبلات والسلطات والفطائر، وكمان بتتسوق لكل احتياجات الجروسري والملحمة وغيره بأسعار خاصة بمناسبة الأعياد، والأحلى إنه بنفس المكان.
على ضمانتك أروح وأجرب.
ولو على ضمانت الشيف، وبجودة وخدمة ممتازة وسعر منافس، ولو عندك مناسبة خليها عليهم.
أورشيد فودز أند جروسري يقع على أورشيد ليك رود بين 12 و13 ميل في مدينة فارمينغتون هيلز. رقم الهاتف 248-516-3121.
وعلى رأي المثل، لقمة هنية بتكفي مية.
Karama Relief Foundation provides humanitarian aid into areas inside of war-torn Syria, as well as aid to the refugees who have fled to the neighboring countries in the Middle East. The foundation offers food baskets, container shipment, mental health, education, soup kitchens, and more. Go to ramarelief.org or call 248-990-4247. Any donation amount made to Rama will go to sustaining many lives. Call now 248-990-4247.
And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690, broadcasting out of Detroit, a part of the U.S. Arab Radio Network, hosted and organized by Layla Hosseini. She's been doing this for like almost, I think, 10 years. And it's one of the only radio shows that is every morning, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 9 o'clock. You get a lot of information, so you want to tune in during the rest of the week. I'm going to be here the next few Fridays. I think the next five Fridays. I'll be here next Friday, and I'll be here the next Friday after that. So you want to tune in on Fridays, and you want to go to our website at thearabstreet.org or hanania.com to get that information so that you don't miss out on some great shows. And I'll have Ali Younis, who's on the line with me now. We'll have him on because I enjoy. Ali is one of the great journalists because he is a principled journalist. That to him, the issue isn't about propaganda. He's not an activist using writing as a means to achieve a goal. He's actually a journalist who explores a story, and even when it's not in our best interest as Arabs, he'll still explore the issues, good, bad, or ugly, because that's what journalism does. Good journalists do. And he is a writer over at Al Jazeera English, where you can read a lot of his stuff. And I think he also gets published at The Intercept. Ali, this final thoughts on Rahaf. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Is she going to make it to Australia and lay on a beach and finally become a Western woman?
I think, yes, Australians, in a bikini? I don't know, that's up to her. But Australia is processing her application as we speak.
Yes.
And I spoke to an Australian journalist who spent some time with her at the airport, who has told me about Rahaf a little bit more for her, saying that she was abused.
Right.
So I hope the best for her. You know, she could try the world. She's 18.
I mean,
she wanna try the world outside of her parents on her own,
Yeah.
Let's give it a shot if she want to be 18 in a Western country, very tough environment. She's not going to be protected by her family or taken care of by her family. So if she wants to try the world, let it be.
Yes. And I agree. I think, we should make sure that she's not abused or hurt. But at the same time, we shouldn't just believe everything that the Western media decides to pump up about the story.
Do you remember in the 90s, there was some Bahraini princess who fled her country with an American Marines from Bahrain in the 90s, right?
Yes.
So this Marine, she fled the country with him. She's a princess, and she lived in Colorado with him in a trailer park, okay? She wanted to live in America. So it's a hit and miss. You can make it or you can't make it. But she ended up, transferring herself from being a princess living in a palace to living in a trailer park. And maybe, I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she's still there or went back to her country or not.
Right. I have no idea what her life is like.
People have misperceptions about America in the Middle East. They think America is just Hollywood,
Yeah.
It isn't Hollywood. It's real life.
Well, I mean, there are some real... Listen. If they would treat this without attacking Arab culture and deal with it as an issue of possible, domestic turbulence, abuse of women, I could understand that. You know, then maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe she is a victim. Maybe she does have real threats against her. And maybe not. I don't know. But we're not allowed to see it that way, because overlapping all of this is this hatred of the Arab world and the Muslim world. It isn't just Arabs and Arab Christians. You know, we're not Muslim, but we're treated like we're Muslim in the eyes of these racist Americans. They look at me, they don't say, "Ray, oh God, you're a Christian, you know, you're a cousin of Jesus, we love you." They don't say that. They say, "How could you be a Christian and an Arab? Aren't you Muslim?" That's what they say. And you look at them and you go, why do they grab the hatred? Because hatred is easier to understand than the facts.
Did you ever tell them that Jesus was not born in Chicago?
I upset them by telling them that Jesus is a Palestinian and leave him alone, okay? He's oppressed and he doesn't have any rights. All right, our number is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. If you want to join in the conversation, this is a story that's very local to Detroit, of course, or at least to Michigan. Rashida Tlaib, she lucked out. Let's be honest. She did not win because she was the most popular person, but you can't deny her the fact that she did win the election to succeed John Conyers. And this is a district that is predominantly African-American, and the African-American vote split over three or four candidates, and Rashida managed to get in. Now, she's going to have to start running for office this year. You know, she's going to have to file again in October, and she'll have a primary in March 2021. She doesn't have a lot of time. She needs to step back, focus on her district, and make the voters, you know, that she didn't get support from, want to support her. It doesn't help, though, I don't think, when she uses language like MF when she's referring to President Trump. I'm sure that some people in Michigan don't like President Trump, and especially in her district, John Conyers' old district. But what do you make of her language? Is it a distraction? Is it a legitimate news story? You know, when she was using a swear word to criticize President Trump, or is that just a distraction by people who don't like her? Because on the other hand, she's a great symbol of Palestinian rights. She did a great thing. She was sworn in on a Quran rather than on a Bible. They said it was Jefferson's Quran. They made a big deal about that, but it was her own family Quran. And she wore a Palestinian thawb, you know, to swearing in, which to me is, I'm proud of that as a Palestinian, right? So there's some of these mixed feelings. You know, what do you make of her?
Well, I agree with you that Rashida Tlaib should not have used that kind of language when addressing the president, and given ammunition to the conservative media to attack her and make a perception out of her that she is someone who uses that kind of language, and maybe having her enemy use that against her and undermine her agenda. And I am with the view that Rashida Tlaib, like you said, should focus on her district. Right. And try to win over the population, especially those who did not vote for her.
Right.
And because Rashida is vulnerable.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of people that voted, 60% of the district didn't vote for her because the black
60%?
Vote. 60%. She barely got, I think, 31%. I have to look at those numbers. And there were two races, remember. There was a race to finish the 3 months of John Conyers, who resigned,
yes, the special
in the face
election.
Of sexual abuse. And in that race, there were only two African-American candidates, and the African-American candidate won. In the race for the full term, there were three African-American candidates, and the African-Americans lost, and Rashida won. Rashida got almost
there
the
were
same
four,
vote.
Four or five African-American candidates.
Yeah, I mean, the point was the vote was divided, which tells me that if I were her consultant, and she would never hire me because, honestly, Rashida doesn't like me. I'm too moderate. Rashida has already attacked me. Let's be honest. Rashida Tlaib doesn't like me. I'm too moderate. She's already attacked me. She's part of this, and I'll be honest, I think she's part of this fanaticism that we have, the sickness in the Arab and Palestinian community, where we have these extremists small group of extremists that bully people. And she was part of that group that were bullying me because they didn't like me because, you know, I said some things like, I think we should compromise with Israel. You know, my wife is Jewish. My son is Jewish. And these are things that don't go over well with some of these extremists. So she does not like me, and she's attacked me several times in email and Twitter and Facebook. So she's not the perfect person for me. But on the other hand, she is doing some of the right things. I think it's great that she puts her Palestinian forward in front of everybody. I think that's right, and I would defend that. I would love to see that. I'd love to see someone else as a Palestinian there. But, you know, hey, she's all we got. I got to deal with her.
Yeah, well, I agree. But, you know, I might be disagreeing a little bit. That
it's all right.
I don't think she is an extremist or fanatic. I think she is just too hyper and too activistic about, you know, her views.
Or maybe it's just emotion. She doesn't like, she popped off at me the same way she used the swear word. You know, and now I can't get her on my radio show. She won't talk to me. She won't respond to emails. She's mad at me. And it's been like this for 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, I think Rashida should take her chance to serve in Congress as an opportunity to become a more mature politician.
Yes, yes.
Reach out across the board.
She can be better.
Yeah, she represents a broad spectrum of people. She cannot corner herself and represent one certain group against the other. She represents her district, and if she wants to represent the Palestinians, she should be inclusive, you know, to reach out to Christian, Muslims, you know, and other political views, those who are on the right, who are those on the left, you know, so people can support her.
Well, she should stop being divisive in the community, because in the community, she's divisive. Outside of the community, though, they attack me the same way they attack her, so she and I may have a difference in the community, but outside of the community, no, the people that hate her are the same people that hate me. And I think
yes.
She can mature and become a better politician and stop fueling this internal squabble just because she doesn't like something. There's no such thing as 100%. Nobody agrees with anybody 100%. If we agree 80% and on the big issues, we should be able to work together. That's one of the problems that I think holds back candidates like Rashida Tlaib, that she falls into this aspect where the internal divisions to her are more important than the bigger war that she's facing. She needs me. She needs you. She needs every Palestinian. And she needs to find a way to step back and stop being divisive in the community.
And also she needs the leadership of the Democratic Party to stand by her. If she continues to be perceived as divisive,
yes,
and the mainstream media in the U.S. attack her, she could become a liability. They might not support her as a Democratic Party. So she needs to work within the Democratic Party to show the Democratic Party that she is a leadership material and she can bring in votes. She can bring donations. She is likable. She is loved by her constituency and a broad spectrum
yes.
of people, whether Arab Americans or non-Arab Americans. Because, you know, and she broke a glass ceiling for our community
yes.
that a Palestinian, a woman for that. And besides Ilhan Omar, a woman, a Muslim woman
Somali,
wearing a hijab.
Somalia.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes,
because that gives an example to young girls in our community.
And
Ocasio-Cortez.
Ocasio-Cortez is another one who believes in Palestinian rights. Listen, Ali, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll do our final 10 minutes of the show, and we'll talk about maybe Rashida Tlaib some more, or we'll take calls at 248-557-3300. I'm Ray Hanania here with Ali Younis from Al Jazeera, and we're going to be right back right after these messages.
تعرفوا شيء احنا كتير بنهتم بالمقبلات بالاكل الشامي
واحنا بنهتم بالبهارات والتسبيكه في الاكل المصري
واحنا نهتم هوايه باللحوم وجودتها بالاكل العراقي واحنا في مطعم عشتار نهتم بكم اعتمدوا علينا ايا كان نحن في عشتار نعرف ان لكل مذاق اسرار فنحن نقدم اجود انواع اللحوم من ملحمه عشتار الواقعه على 56865 راين رود
عشتار قصه حضاره ترويها لكم اطباقنا المميزه في كل زياره
تفضلوا بزيارتنا في 36
825 East 50 Mile Road, Sterling Heights.
مطعم عشتار بإدارة فادي بهنام وعلي البغدادي. 586-698-2585. 586-698-2585.
Are you going to start a restaurant or a grocery store soon? Do you need floor plans and designs? Call Najee Abood at 734-744-9796. Do you want to buy kitchen and restaurant equipment at discount prices? Call Najee Abood now, 734-744-9796. New Concept Products and Design, the trademark of kitchen equipment. 5% discount on all purchases of $75,000 or more. New Concept Products and Design, new location, 31185 Schoolcraft in Livonia. Learn more at www.newconceptproducts.com. Call Najee Abood, 734-744-9796.
انتهى الاجتماع ومحتارين هناكل فين؟
من الآخر وبدون تفكير أورشيد فودز أفضل وأحسن.
عنده أكلات طيبة يا ترى؟
أورشيد فودز عنده أفضل تشكيلة من المحاشي والمشاوي والمقبلات والسلطات والفطائر، وكمان بتتسوق لكل احتياجات الجروسري والملحمة وغيره بأسعار خاصة بمناسبة الأعياد، والأحلى إنه بنفس المكان.
على ضمانتك أروح وأجرب.
ولو على ضمانت الشيف، وبجودة وخدمة ممتازة وسعر منافس، ولو عندك مناسبة خليها عليهم.
أورشيد فودز أند جروسري يقع على أورشيد ليك رود بين 12 و 13 ميل في مدينة فارمينغتون هيلز. رقم الهاتف 248-516-3121.
وعلى رأي المثل، لقمة هنية بتكفي مية.
When it comes to reproductive medicine, IVF Michigan Fertility Centers are the recognized leaders. With locations in Bloomfield Hills and five other cities in Michigan and Ohio, IVF has experts in all aspects of the field. As a founding member of IVF Michigan Fertility Centers, Dr. Nicholas Shama is one of the leading reproductive endocrinologists in Michigan and Ohio. Dr. Shama has performed over 10,000 IVF cases and has helped thousands of couples fulfill their dreams of parenthood. American board certified in both obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology and infertility, Dr. Nicholas Shama is a very caring, compassionate, expert physician that understands not only the medical but also the emotional toil of infertility on his patients. When it's time, get personalized care from Dr. Nicholas Shama at IVF Michigan Fertility Centers in Michigan and Ohio. Call toll-free 855-952-9600, 855-952-9600.
And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio. I'm Ray Hanania with my guest, Ali Younis, who writes for Al Jazeera. I write for the Arab News and Middle East Monitor in London, the Arab News in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. My website is Hanania.com or thearabstreet.org. Ali, where should people go if they want to read your columns? Because I know you write for The Intercept and also Al Jazeera English, but is there a specific place you want them to go? Yeah. Or should they follow you on Twitter? What's the best way to keep up with what you're doing?
They can follow me on, they can follow me on Twitter at Ali_reports, and they could go to aljazeera.com and search my articles. And I do investigations with The Intercept. I published last week a big investigation about the bombing in eastern Syria, eastern Deir Zor area in Syria, my second installment in 2 weeks or 3 weeks with The Intercept, joint investigation between The Intercept and Al Jazeera. And I have one coming next week also about the U.S. bombing in this area and the plight of Syrian civilians who are being killed and massacred by the bombings and being cornered by ISIS terrorism and by the bombing from the regime areas and bombing from the air by the coalition, U.S., British, and Italians and other nations who are bombing them. So the Syrians are being killed, the Syrian civilians being killed anywhere you go in Syria by different groups and different parties.
So the listeners can look you up on Twitter at Ali_reports. Let's go to the phone line and welcome Saeed, who is holding and wants to make a few comments. Saeed, thank you, first of all, for listening to the Arab Street Radio and for calling in at 248-557-3300. Go ahead, Saeed.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just want to say about Congresswoman Rashida that she is no benefit to the community. She's no benefit to the community. She consumes more than she produces. She consumes more than she produces. And if I had the power, honestly, I will deport her back to her country. It's no benefit. I just want to say that. All right. Thank you.
That's okay. I mean, she's a controversial person. Not everybody, you know, supports her. Thank you, Saeed, for calling. I appreciate it. It just tells you, Ali, that, you know, politics is politics, right? Nobody has 100% support, right?
Right. But, you know, Rashida Tlaib is an American citizen. She was born in this country.
Yes.
In America, not in this country.
I think he's making the argument.
She's an American citizen.
I think he's making the argument that she focuses too much on herself over the years. I'm hoping she has a great opportunity to change and be a better person. Is she going to do that? I don't know.
I'm not from Michigan. I don't know her local politics.
Right.
But I think she's an important figure.
Yes.
I think it's a victory. You know, it's a victory, whether you like Rashida Tlaib or don't like Rashida Tlaib.
Right.
She's a victory for the community because she sets the example. Hopefully, in the future generations, can learn and they could see that you can win. You could be a member of Congress.
Right.
You could participate in U.S. politics. You could be an American citizen through and through like anybody else's.
But that's
important.
Isn't it part of the problem, though, that we don't have a choice? We don't get the best. We have to take the good and the bad because there's so few. There are 435 members of Congress and we have, what, 13 Arabs, maybe 7 Arabs in Congress. That's not a lot, so we have to take what we get, and maybe Rashida Tlaib isn't the best, but yeah, she's Palestinian, and I have no choice. She's the only Palestinian woman that I can support in Congress, right? So I have to take the good and bad of her in that, and I will support her, but she could be a better person. She could recognize that and do more, don't you think?
Yes, I think, first of all, I think Rashida deserves the support of the community because of the symbolism of her presence in Congress, and that's very significant. She might not be, you know, have a lot of sway in Congress.
Right,
but, I think
but it's a platform. It's a huge platform.
Behaves,
yes.
She has a huge platform, and if she can grow and develop herself to be a powerful congresswoman in Congress, she could help the district that she's in, like John Conyers was, and she could help the Palestinian community at large, but not by being an activist, you know, and, you know, giving ammunition to critics to attack her and eventually can depose her.
Yeah, she needs to be smarter.
Remember Gus Savage and Mel Melvin?
Yes,
He isolated
himself with his craziness, even though he supported us, you know, the Palestinians. I'd like to have one a champion in Congress who champions the Palestinian cause, who isn't off the deep end, you know, who does the right thing. That's what I hope we have. Listen, we got less than a minute, so, Ali, I got to say thank you for joining us. Hopefully, you're going to join me next Friday, and we'll continue the discussion with issues in the news. Ali Younes, a reporter with Al Jazeera. Look him up on Twitter at Ali_reports, and you can connect to all of his network. Ali, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, we'll talk to you. I'm Ray Hanania. Remember, go to thearabstreet.org or to hanania.com. The dailyhookah.com is actually the website, too. And you'll be able to get information on all our radio shows. I'm Ray Hanania. Mike, thank you so much for producing the show. I will see you next Friday. Remember, 7 o'clock in Detroit next Friday. Or excuse me, 8 o'clock in Detroit next Friday, 7 o'clock in Chicago. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to my podcast, which reflects my writings. I write a syndicated column about Middle East issues at the Arab News, Middle East Monitor, and the ArabDailyNews.com. And I also write on mainstream American political issues for the Southwest News newspaper group in Chicagoland. Check out my column archive at thedailyhookah.com or hanania.com. And, of course, these podcasts at thearabstreet.org. Thank you for listening.